This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
A big decision on interest rates is due today. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. In about 4 hours, there will be a bulletin, in all likelihood, saying the Federal Reserve will raise its target for short-term interest rates by 0.25%. That will be no surprise. The news will be in what Fed Chair Jay Powell then says about the future. Let's get a consultation from economist David Kelly, Chief Global Strategist at JP Morgan Funds. Morning.
Good morning.
I don't know. Should I expect to know when the U.S. economy will finally slow down by either the statement or what Fed Chair Powell tells us?
Probably not. I mean, I think they will change their statement as little as possible. The interesting thing is, though, they're going to forecast where the economy is going to be all the way out to the end of 2021. They're going to say that unemployment is going to stay low right the way through 2021 and that the federal funds rate is going to rise to a level above where they think it's going to be in the long run. So what they're really going to project, I think, is continued economic expansion with a very low unemployment rate, which would be a very odd outcome if we actually achieve it.
It is odd, but also on this notion of forecasting that far out. I mean, how seriously should we take this? I know these are serious people using best practices, but really.
It is a problem right now. You know, this economic expansion is old, and a rational person might assume the economy is going to slow, and we might actually run into a recession in a few years. But, you know, they forecast this that far out, and they just don't want to say we're headed for a recession at some stage. We're going to be in a position where we're going to have to cut interest rates. So I'm not sure whether it's suspended animation or suspended disbelief, but I think that's what we're going to get today.
That's David Kelly, the Chief Global Strategist at JP Morgan Funds. Thank you.
Anytime.
I once did an event with the CEO of a social enterprise, a bakery, that has a fascinating approach to recruiting. When there's a job opening, he takes whoever's next in line, no questions asked, and then makes them an apprentice. The idea is to give a shot to people who might not be able to get work otherwise. Recently, a piece about New York's Grayston Bakery got Marketplace's senior economics contributor Chris Farrell thinking about all the companies that cut back training when the economy tanked 10 years ago. Hi, Chris.
Good morning, David.
So, training of American workers, that also was a casualty of 2008?
Absolutely. Training budgets were just slashed. In fact, it was one of the first things to go. And then during the recovery, and remember how slow the recovery was? You know, businesses, they had multiple lines of workers out the door, so they didn't really have to invest much in training. And this is on top of a trend of corporate America moving away from training anyway.
You'd think at a time of what is supposedly full employment that training would be embraced, but you're saying still not.
Well, you're starting to see a little more going on because people keep complaining about their lack of qualified workers. You hear that all the time, right? My reaction is, you know, I think we have a lack of training programs. And this thought came to me partially looking at the data, but also reading the story in Business Insider about this bakery, Grayston Bakery.
Yeah, this is a bakery, I think it's based in the New York area, that has a very interesting recruiting policy.
Yeah, no resume, no interview, no background check. It's kind of like first come, first serve when a job opens. But here's the part that really grabbed me, David. So you get hired. You enter a 10-month training program, including life skills. So you're an apprentice. At the end of the 10 months, you're a qualified worker. So that, to me, is what corporate America is missing. Stop complaining about qualified workers and let's start embracing training programs throughout someone's lifetime. And I think Grayston Bakery sort of highlights the promise.
And dare I even ask about government training programs? we've been talking about the private sector, but this is the perennial for we business reporters.
You know, what's the right word? Pitiful? Public investments in adult education, if you're charting it out, it just drops dramatically after age 25. By age 40, it's essentially reached zero. Now, make an international comparison. We are in this global economy. If you look at Germany, for example, you know, Germany public expenditures on worker reemployment and reskilling training programs is more than six times that of the U.S. So again, the corporate sector, they're falling short. The public sector is a disgrace.
Chris Farrell, Marketplace's senior economics contributor. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, David.
Over the past few months, you've been hearing Divided Decade, Marketplace's year-long project covering the Great Recession and its ongoing impact. As a nonprofit news organization, we believe this kind of in-depth reporting is critical to helping people understand the economic forces that affect us every day. Now, if you agree, please go to marketplace.org to become a Marketplace investor and keep reliable, independent journalism going strong. And thank you. You may have heard Dunkin' Donuts is dropping the word donuts. Now, underneath this is a business story not about circular fried cake, but it's about the coffee, Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Here's the old version from a 1983 ad.
Time to make the donuts.
It isn't easy owning a Dunkin' Donuts.
And today's brand ID.
America runs on Dunkin'.
The company says the change to Dunkin' No Donuts emphasizes that it's a beverage-led, on-the-go brand. Jim Hertel at analytics firm Inmar says consumers increasingly do eat breakfast on the run, quite possibly on a diet.
Every day you may have one or more coffees, but you may not be in the mood for donuts.
Mark Cohen at Columbia Business School points out redoing logos and marketing can be expensive and risky.
Messing with your customers' perception and expectations.
Though he says in this case, the name change helps clarify Dunkin's value proposition to customers. Fresh, hot, affordable coffee, and still plenty of donuts. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
I have an explorer friend who says that in his experience, every single culture has what he calls a GDD, a grease delivery device, something doughy, yummy, and fried. At least one thing that unites us. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.